All right, we'll see if we can get along with this microphone this morning. I tell you, Dana and I can't thank you enough for having us with you this weekend. The food has been delicious, and I'm looking forward to pulled pork. I'm just so thankful I wasn't born a physical Jew. So I love me some pig. But anyway, as Brother Ramirez said, the fellowship has been very encouraging. Your hospitality has just been heavenly. You have been very hospitable to us and very friendly to us, and we appreciate that. And your generosity has been greatly appreciated, I assure you. The missions quarters very comfortable, and I don't say that just because we've been living in our camper for the past 9 months. It's nice to be able to stretch your legs, and I've enjoyed the recliner. I haven't had my recliner in 9 months, and so that's what I've really been partial to, and the fact that I don't have to roll up into a ball to take a shower. That's been nice. So, but we sure have enjoyed the missions quarters there. Central Baptist Church, Brother Ramirez and family, you have ministered to us in a time when my wife and I, we really have needed it. You have ministered to us. And I believe that that's how God intends for it to be. Not only do we come hoping to be a blessing, but to also to receive that blessing as well. We ask that you pray for us. Pray that God will open the door for us, that He would have us to walk through and then give us the wisdom and the courage to see it and walk through it in regards to the next step in our ministry. And if the Lord has a church for me to pastor, I certainly look forward to the time that God brings us together for that. But we're just open to whatever the Lord's leadership is for our lives, whatever ministry He'd have us step out into. So we're going to continue to pray for you and your ministry here, and we look forward to hearing of the great work that God is doing in and through Central Baptist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. As I mentioned last night, it has always been true in my life that whenever I heard of Little Rock, Arkansas, I instantly thought of Central Baptist Church, and I believe that'll continue to be the case in my life as well, because of the friendships that have been made here this weekend and just the personalization. Your ministry has always been personal to me, as I've shared this weekend, and the fact that through the preaching of Brother Mosier Sr. and Brother Mosier Jr. and the times that we've shared together through church camp in years past, and all that has been personal, but this has made it even more personal right now in our lives, and we thank you for that. As we have tried to challenge you this weekend, as the messages that God's laid on my heart for you as you celebrate 90 years of faithfulness, they have not been so much a time of just dwelling on the past or even dwelling on what is, but a looking ahead, a looking forward. And certainly, if you were here this morning, and I know that this has been shown before, but to look at just the 400 pictures that were selected and condensed into that brief slide show, but then to look through the walls there, the pictures, and then the long table of so many different picture albums, and to see down through the years men and women, and to recognize some of those who have been here and have gone on to different areas and different ministries, to see all that certainly is a good thing, and to know that God has blessed you here. And God has done a great work with Central Baptist Church. And God has a plan for you, has had a plan for you, and He continues to have a plan for you. And so to bring all of that together and to conclude my portion with you, and I hope it doesn't stop at the final amen this morning. If it does, then, you know, we've just totally failed. But what we have, what God's given, is something that's got to go on from this point. This is not the end of it. This is the beginning of it. And so I conclude this morning with a question. Do you want more? Do you want more? We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1 this morning in just a moment, but I want to ask you a few questions first as you're turning there. Colossians chapter 1. I want to ask you a few questions. First of all, how many of you believe today that Central Baptist Church has maxed out? Good. No one raised their hand. How many of you believe today that you are doing everything that can be done to fulfill the Great Commission? That you've accomplished your mission and your vision, and now it's time for Central Baptist Church to just kick back, relax, and revel in your prosperity. Okay, then how many of you believe that you can do more as a church? Huh? Yeah. No, let's put it this way. How many of you believe that you should do more to reach these goals? Now, last question. How many of you realize that in order for Central Baptist Church to do more, it means that you are going to have to do more? Because after all, you are the church. It's not this building. As beautiful as it is, and as comfortable as it is, let's bear in mind that when it comes to the end of a life, we see these beautiful, ornate, padded, and lined caskets in which we lay these decaying, rotting bodies in to place them in a dirty old grave. I pray that we as churches across America and around the world never come to the point to where the beautiful buildings that God gives us are just that, caskets, in which that which was is laid to rest, to lay in state, to look at and to remember. But that we would always continue on as God would have us to do. You are the church, not this building. God forbid, and I pray it never happened, but if so much, so often we've seen here in our part of the world, if a tornado were to blow through Little Rock and blow this building down, Central Baptist Church would not cease to be. If a fire were to sweep through this building tonight and burn it to the ground, Central Baptist Church would still be alive and could still go on, because you are the church. Let me make it plain to you what I'm talking about this morning. Central Baptist Church has a job to do. Central Baptist Church has done a job in the past. They have for 90 years. They've been doing that job. You have been doing that job. But today, you have a job to do. It's leading people to Christ. It's seeing hurt people healed. It's seeing helpless or hopeless people given a new lease on life. It's seeing broken people restored, seeing families strengthened, marriages made whole again, and lives given purpose. That's what you're here for. You are called to be light in darkness. You are called to be blessing where there is only a curse. This world is under a curse. But it is your responsibility here in this area to bring the blessing of God, which is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and the abundant life that brings to us. It is your responsibility to bring that to this area. You are charged to bring strength where there is only weakness. You are called to transform this world rather than be transformed by this world. That's the responsibility that is before you today. How many of you believe that this morning? How many of you believe that's your responsibility? How many of you want to be part of that from here on out? Do you know how? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. how to do it, and what's it going to cost you to get the job done. I want us to read a portion of Scripture this morning, a portion of the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, which was a growing, active, healthy church that was daily accomplishing its vision. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, and as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redeemed redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the opportunity to be here at such a momentous occasion in the life of Central Baptist Church to celebrate 90 years of faithfulness. 90 years of their faithfulness to You, but more importantly, God, 90 years of Your faithfulness to them. And Father, with all the great and mighty works that have been accomplished here, of the countless numbers of folks who have been saved directly or indirectly as a result of the ministry of this church, only heaven will tell and share that story. But God, we know that it's all been because of Jesus Christ in and through this church. Father, for the men who have led this church down through the years, faithful men who have not only been men who have pastored this church, but men who have been pastors to pastors, men who have helped to train generations of preachers and teach them the truth of the Word of God and to rightly divide that Word. We thank You, Father, for that ministry. But God, as we come to this point in the life of this church, we understand and know that this isn't all. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning. This is just a point in that timeline that You have for this church and the life of this church, that it should continue on. And Father, today, as the Apostle Paul said, we rejoice in the things that we have heard, but Father, we also are excited about the things that are yet ahead. We pray, God, that through this time together this weekend, that this church, that we all would be challenged in our own personal lives, but as a church, these folks would be challenged to seek more, to look for more, to do more for You in the days and the years to come, that You might receive the honor and glory for it all. For it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. What do you as a member of Central Baptist Church do to maximize the years to come after these 90 years of past faithful ministry? What is it that you need to do now? How do you go on from here? What comes next? How can you enjoy more of God's blessings until the Lord Jesus Christ returns? And you know, it could be today that He returns. It could be tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. It could be 90 years from now. But regardless of when Christ returns, what he needs to find and what he wants to find and what he commands to us to find is to find us being busy about his work. Being involved, actively involved in what he would have us to do. So how do we accomplish this? How do you as a church do this? Continue on for these next years that God has for you ahead. First of all, you need to utilize your gifts. Utilize the gifts God's given you. Notice verses 3 and 4 of this chapter. It says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Personal there. Paul says, you as a church, and notice what he's thankful for and praying for. Verse 4, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints." Utilizing the gifts that God has given. How many of you exchanged presents this past Christmas? You know, probably most everybody here did that. Now, very important question. How many of you still have a Christmas present under the tree? No, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Opening the gifts and seeing them open is the best part of giving of gifts, isn't it? I mean, after all, it's not the package that gets us excited. It's the thought about what's inside. What's inside, that gets us going, that gets us excited. There's nothing as tragic as an unopened gift. Someone put thought and care and love into purchasing that gift, and selecting a box, and wrapping it carefully, and putting a bow on top, and placing it under the Christmas tree for you. Now there is this valuable item, and it's just sitting there. It's yours. It's been given to you. Your name is on it. It belongs to you, and it's there for you, but it's still all wrapped up. And you say, "Boy, I just love that. I'm just going to leave it there and look at it." And so January rolls around, and there's my gift. It's still there. March, spring cleaning. I got to clean up around the package and all the needles that are falling off the Christmas tree now. But it's like, my gift is still there. And here, 4th of July, we're celebrating, but the gift, and we just go on and on. And is that what? No, that's not what we do. The gift is ours. It's been given to us, but it's still all wrapped up. You can't use it. You can't enjoy it. Your life cannot be made easier or better with it. It just sits there as potential that has been wasted. What good is it if it's never opened and never used? Well, folks, God has given you gifts. Gifts that have the potential to change lives for eternity. Every one of you, there's something that you can do in the ministry here in this church. You say, "Well, I'm young, or I'm old, or I've done this, or it doesn't matter." I was talking to a young lady this week at work, and she knows that I am a preacher of the gospel and all, and she was asking me some questions, talking to me, and she was telling me that she had started tithing, and I said, "Well, that's wonderful." You know, she's a young single girl, about 21, and just kind of starting out on her own in college and working the job part-time. And yet she said, I've made a commitment to tithe. And I said, "That's great. Keep it up. And Satan's going to challenge you on it, but since you've made that commitment." And she says, "Well, that's what I need to do because that's all I can do." I said, "No." I said, "You can use your talents for God." She said, "Well, I don't have any talents." And I'm sure what she was thinking of is, maybe she can't sing, or maybe she doesn't feel like she can teach, or a lot of the things that are usually at the forefront. But having talked with this young lady and knowing her through work and all, I know she has a real passion for and a real talent and ability to cook. And so that's the first thing I said, "Well, you've got your cooking." And she looked at me like, "You have lost your ever-loving mind. What do you mean? Cooking for church?" I said, "Exactly. I said, you know, as your church has activities and meals, you can prepare food and bring to that and contribute in that way. Better yet, you can cook and take meals to visitors as a way of welcoming them, or folks who are sick in your church or whatever. There's all kinds of ways. There are things, folks, and that's just a very feeble thing to present to you as a gift. But there are so many gifts, so many things that God has given you, abilities that you can use for Him. But gifts that are not open or not used are of no value, no use. Here's the thing. Many people today don't know what their spiritual gifts are, and they're not using them for the kingdom of God. I don't know if the fault rests with us as preachers, pastors, for not explaining that better, or if people just don't want to know what their gifts are, so nothing's expected. You know, if I don't know, nothing's expected. Well, we need to unwrap our gifts and utilize them for God. You see, your church cannot go for more. Central Baptist Church cannot go for more unless you are willing to go for more. You are the church. You are its potential. You are the hope that is here, or carry that hope of Jesus Christ. You must utilize your gift. No gift, no talent is too small to be used by God. Remember what the old song says, little is much when God is in it. Doesn't matter what has been. And you know, it really doesn't matter as much as we think of what is right now, but what can be if we use our gifts for God. Utilize your gift. Utilize what God's given you. Second of all, if you're going to go for more, if you really want God to do more in and through this church, you've got to realize the vision. Look in chapter 1 again in verses 4 and 5. Paul says to this church here, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. He says, you're not just looking to the here and now, but you're looking ahead to what God has in store for you. Let me get real with you this morning, my friends. Church is more than talk. And you understand what I'm saying when I say church. I'm saying all that we do as a church is more than just talk. For far too long, we have seen church as something that gives to us, something that meets our needs, and something that fills our lives. We come in, we plop down in the pew or in the chair, and we say, okay, I'm here, do something. Huh? Right or wrong? Amen or oh me? You see, it's wonderful that all these people are using their gifts and their talents for the Lord. It's wonderful when you have musicians and singers and preachers and teachers, and it's good that they come. And this is what people want. They want to come and they want to be made to feel good when we're here. People, isn't that right? People go to church these days to feel good. To feel good about who they are and what they are and where they are in their lives, even if they are bogged down in terrible, filthy, dirty sin. They just want to be made to feel better. You know, the problem is we have become church customers or church consumers instead of church workers. And the mentality of the day has developed is, if I don't like what I see here, well, I'll just go somewhere else. And if I don't get what I want here, well, I'll find it at the next stop. Well, let me give you a suggestion. If you don't find what you want here, start producing it. Well, I want the preacher to preach better. Pray for him. Encourage him. Well, I want our Sunday school class to grow. Invite people to come. Pray for your Sunday school teacher. Well, I wish we had this ministry or that ministry. Don't go to your pastor and say, hey, we ought to do this. Well, say, could we do this and could I help? Could I lead it? Could I, you know, be a part of it? Step up to the plate. Stop being consumers and start being workers. Instead of coming to church and wondering what you'll get today, come wondering, what can I give today? What can I do? Invest your time, your talent, your money. Trust God to use you and to make something from your life. Move from the bench to the playing field. And listen, I understand that for a lot of you folks here this morning, that where you're sitting right now is you're looking back over the last 90 years, and for some of you, you've been here a big part of those 90 years. Some of you have been faithful through decades of service in Central Baptist Church. And I know that you have worked and you have labored here. But here's the thing. Until you are relieved of duty, you still have duty. You must utilize your gifts and you must get involved. Realize the vision that God has for this church. And then, once you've done that, you need to personalize the investment. That's the third thing. Personalize the investment. Look in verse 10. First two words. That ye. Who's he talking to? Well, boy, that's plain. Talking to me. He's talking to you. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The Apostle Paul says here, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Walk. Three words I want to share with you this morning. Walk, of course, is an action word. And these are three action words. You know, for too long that we have taken church or ministry as a noun, and it's a verb. It's action. Here are some more action words besides the word walk. The first one is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Boy, I sacrificed this morning. I could have slept in, but I got up and I got in my car. My comfortable reclining bucket seats with all the buttons and I drove in the air conditioning to the church house, and I came in the nice padded pews and climate control. I was looking at some of the pictures this morning and I noticed the old building there that there were people standing out front, and I noticed all the windows were up. And I thought, boy, how times have changed. Now we don't even put windows in most of our sanctuaries, or if we do, they're fixed windows that don't open and, they're blurred or whatever, where people aren't sitting there looking out at the birds and the squirrels and all that. I tell you, we have kind of gotten comfortable, haven't we? We are, as the prophet said, we are at ease in Zion. Sacrifice. What is sacrifice? I tell you, we get nowhere on excess. It takes sacrifice. You cannot reach this world with your excess. You never have enough. It will always take sacrifice. You know, for far too long as Americans, we have tried to live on the excess. We have tried to continue on the blessings of the past. And certainly God has blessed America. And we as God's people a lot of times say, you know, America's got to wake up and realize we can't live in the past. We've got to follow and serve God now. Well, hello. We as churches need to wake up and realize we can't rest on the past. We can't count on what the past has been and praise God for the past and all that's been done. But hey, we've got to go now. And it's not the excess, it's the sacrifice that it's going to take. You cannot build without sacrifice. You cannot support missions without sacrifice. You cannot man your Sunday school or your children's church or your teen ministry or whatever ministries you may have in this church without sacrifice. It can't be done on leftovers. It's done on sacrifice. And isn't that true of everything about us? I mean, what brought about our salvation? Sacrifice. God gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life to die on the cross for our sins. Sacrifice. He purchased His church with His precious blood. Sacrifice. The Word of God that we hold today is in our hands because down through the ages, men and women of God have sacrificed what? Their time? No, they've sacrificed their very lives. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Sacrifice is what it's about. You're here today because someone in the past 90 years has sacrificed. And if this church is going to be here in another 90 years, it's going to be because you today will purpose in your heart that you are going to sacrifice. If not, you might as well lock the doors and go on your way and just forget it. Sacrifice is important. It's an action word. The second action word is sanctify. Sanctify. Make your life count for something. Give it to God. Too many people are trying to live with their bodies in the world and their hearts in Christ. It can't happen. God won't share us with the world. You see, the word sanctify, we have forgotten the meaning of it, but what it means is to set apart for. 90 years ago, this church was set aside, was sanctified for the work of the Lord in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I submit to you today that you must sanctify it every day, every week. You must purpose in your heart that I'm going to sanctify myself, set apart myself, and our church is going to set apart itself for the work of the Lord here in Little Rock, Arkansas. It is a daily sacrifice. It is a daily sanctification that must take place. Over. Now, I'm not saying you got to get saved over and over again. Amen. Praise God for that. But because our salvation is eternal, and because the work we have before us is based on eternal things, every day we've got to do that. Sacrifice and sanctify. Set your life apart for Christ and see what He will do for you. Sanctify this church. Set it apart for the work of the Lord here and see what God will do for you in this community. The third action word. Simplify. Set your priorities and keep them simple. You see, you can tell what your priorities are by looking in two places. You ready for this? Look at your calendar and look at your checkbook. Oh, you must be a Baptist preacher. Now you're going around to talking about money. Now, it's more than money. Check your calendar, check your checkbook. Your calendar, because where you spend your time is where you spend your life. That's the focus of your life. So many people today are focused on spending their time in climbing the corporate ladder or the business ladder or work ladder or career ladder, whatever you want to call it, however you want to put it, to the point that they're sacrificing all right. They're sacrificing their marriages, they're sacrificing their children, and they're sacrificing what they should be doing for the cause of Christ. You see, it's not just those out there, it's us within here as well, if we're not careful. We need to check our calendar. We talked about that already this weekend. How, you know, there was a day and time when so many of God's people in His churches, patterned their lives or set their schedules for their lives around the church's activities rather than saying, hey, you need to schedule around me. We need to simplify, set our priorities. When it comes to our checkbook, what about that? Well, the Bible says, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Simplify. Prioritize. What comes first? What comes first for you? Keep it simple. God first. And because God's first, then His church is right there with Him. And then your family. And then your job. You say, well, man, if I do that, how am I going to be any good to my family? Let me tell you something. If you put God first in your life, you'll be the best husband to your wife you can be. You'll be the best wife to your husband you can be. If God and He is in His right place in your life, and you're in the right place with God, you'll be the best parent to your children that you can be. You'll be the best employee to your boss that you can be. You see, Jesus said this as well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. If we will give God His place, all the rest will fall into place. Simplify, prioritize, and set Christ first in your life. Utilize your gifts. Get the vision. I don't know what the vision is. Well, listen, God's got it. You just need to discover it. You don't create it. Hello? You do not create the vision that God has for Central Baptist Church. You discover the vision God has for Central Baptist Church. And then you follow it. And God's placed a man here to lead you in that. Then you've got to personalize the investment. And then last this morning, maximize the present. We are here and we are now. The past is the past. The future is uncertain. The Bible says none of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. Isn't that something? Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Who knows what's going to happen tonight? Pastor Otis Medley in Florence, Colorado, his son, Caleb, went to a midnight showing of the latest Batman movie in Aurora, Colorado. He took with him his expecting wife, carrying their first child. You know the rest. A madman burst into that place and began shooting. Caleb takes a bullet to the head. His wife takes shrapnel to her abdomen. Caleb continues to be in the hospital today in a coma, gradually wean him off. God has certainly done a work with him. The baby was unharmed, was born about a week later in the same hospital where his daddy laid fighting for his life, a healthy baby boy. You don't know what today holes. 9 people walking down in front of the Empire State Building just this week, looking up at all what's going on. Enjoying their time in New York City. A crazed gunman goes to kill a man he used to work with or work for or something, and bullets begin to fly everywhere. 9 people wounded as a result of all that. Drive down the highway. You see flowers, crosses, people that were going through their everyday life, looking forward to what they had in store, not only that day, but in the weeks and months and years to come. Probably not one of them woke up that morning and thought, today I'm going to die. Folks, we've got to maximize the present. Where we are right here and right now. Look in verse 6. In verse 6, he says, he's talking about the hope there in verse 5, but he says, which is come unto you. That's present tense, isn't it? It is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth, right now, it's bringing this forth fruit, as it doth. That's all present tense, right now. Also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. You know, the church at Colossae was constantly bearing fruit and constantly increasing. That's what God wants for your church. How many of you believe that what happened at the church at Colossae happened by accident or just was a fluke? No. It's because they were actively serving God. They were putting action to their words. They were going and doing what God would have them to do. It happened because the people were willing to maximize the present and not to rest in the past. Now it starts off, Paul says, you know, I'm thankful that I've heard of things in your past. But then he moves on, he says, and now I'm glad I see the things in your present. Our tendency, folks, our tendency is always to know what we like and to like what we know. We don't like change. Huh? Come on. Admit it. We don't like change. And you know, the older I get, the more I don't like it. Isn't that something? You know, when we're teenagers and when we're in our 20s and 30s, you know, change doesn't bother us. Yeah, we need change. But boy, past that, we kind of, well, I don't know about it. We kind of get like that old man had been in the church for about 65 years, new pastor comes along, he says, well, brother, seeing that you've been in this church for about 65 years, I guess you've seen a lot of changes come along in those 65 years. He says, yep, I have, and I've been against every one of them. Would to God we not be like that. Central Baptist Church was able to accomplish a lot in the past. Only eternity will reveal how much. But folks, as much as I commend you for that, that is in the history books. That is the past. It will never again be changed. Change doesn't happen in the past. It happens in the present and into the future. You can live in the past or you can move into the future. You can move ahead. You can go on. But only one of those options, staying in the past or going ahead, only one of those options is filled with life and growth. The past is dead. If you understand what I'm saying, Because I've listened to you and watched you as you've watched these slides of people, and you've seen folks, and you I've heard you say, "Oh, they passed away so many years ago. I remember them. They're dead and gone." That's the past. We're right here, right now. You see, those that have been reached by Central Baptist Church here in the city of Little Rock and around the world in the past are thankful for that. But what about those all around this 5 or 6 acres that you have here and all of these houses that need you right now? Need you right now. You know what? Most of them don't even know they need you. They don't even know why they need you. Because they don't know what their condition is. They don't know that they need a Savior. They don't know that they need Jesus Christ. So you've got to get the Word out to them. You cannot live in the past. You must go into the future. The desire for more presents you with all kinds of opportunities. Opportunities for new ideas. Things that you haven't tried before. Here's the thing. The world is changing around us. Technologies are coming along. Well, I don't think we need to delve into that. I wonder how many years ago people talked about the evils of central air conditioning. Boy, we don't need that stuff in our churches. Make us comfortable. Aren't you glad we got it? Padded pews. Oh, well. We were just talking about that this morning, how we remembered the old wooden pews. And, I understand. And let me tell you, things like that can be used for wrong. And they can, if we're not careful, get in the way. But hey, technology that's out there today to reach people not just here, but around the world like that, through the World Wide Web. Brother Moser was talking about this week about how, the Baptist Challenge that has been such a blessing through the years is I can remember just anticipating getting that in the mail. I don't have to anticipate anymore. I can go to my computer and just pull it up just like that. I don't lose it. It doesn't get thrown out with the junk mail or anything like that by mistake or anything. Isn't it great to be able to utilize those things? Hey, new ideas. We as we go in for more, it presents us with fresh commitment. You are what you are today, not what you have been. You can change. The desire for more presents us with broken hearts. God changing you to have a heart like His heart. Broken for people. We like to think about and we like to preach about the Christ who went into the temple and fixed a whip and drove the money changers out. Well, we better be glad He didn't come and do that today. Because some of us that think we might be on one side of Him would actually be on the receiving end of the whip sometimes. But what we don't like to think about and what we don't think so much about, it's sad to say these days, is the same Christ who was righteous and just in what He had done there also had love and compassion and went up on a hillside that overlooked that same group of people there in Jerusalem. And there, the very God of heaven, who created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is, openly wept, was moved with compassion for the people. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad
as sheep having no shepherd. We need our hearts broken again to understand that while Central Baptist Church has a ministry that it needs to meet the needs of its people, that's not the primary purpose that this church exists. The primary purpose that this church exists for is to reach the lost people outside of the walls of this building for the Lord Jesus Christ. When was the last time your heart was broken for a lost person? When was the last time you were moved to compassion, that you shed a tear for someone who needed Christ, either to save their soul or to bring them back into a right fellowship with Him? Do you want more? Just a couple more questions for you as we close this message out. Are you ready to do more? Are you willing to do more? If not, what's stopping you? Won't you just give it to God and ask Him to break your heart once again so that you can continue the faithfulness? Not only continue your faithfulness to God, but continue to receive God's faithfulness to you as you continue on for Him. Let's stand. If you will, heads bowed and eyes closed, prepared for an invitation song as God has worked in your heart. Maybe here this morning you've realized through things that have been said that perhaps you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you even thought you were saved, a child of God, that you had Christ in your heart, but you've realized, you know, that's just been a fake. That's been a facade. The reason that I can't get excited about doing more for Christ is because I don't know Him. Today's the day of salvation. Don't let some false profession in your past stop you from coming to know Christ in your present. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, I used to, the biggest group of Baptists in the world today are not the Southern Baptists. It's the used to Baptist. We used to do this. We used to teach Sunday school. We used to be faithful. We used to put God. Let me tell you, time to quit being a used to be and start being a I'm going to be and doing it now. Maybe this morning in this service, you need to come and rededicate your heart anew and afresh to God. Maybe even today you need to come and take your pastor by the hand and say, hey, I want to quit being a consumer, just a church customer. I want to start being a church worker. I want to do more. I want to see our church do more. I want to see more people saved. I want to see more people added to this body. I want to see us in more ministries. Whatever the need is, God is willing and waiting for you to come and to give you your heart's desire according to His will. But it is up to you. You must make that decision for yourself. And you must follow Him. Father, I thank You, God, that You give us an opportunity to serve You. That You're willing to use us, pitiful human beings, weak and frail as we are, that You've allowed us to be part of the greatest work on earth, the sharing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, not only have You allowed us to be a part of it, You've commanded us to be a part of it and to do what You would have us to do here. Father, I pray for Brother Ramirez. I pray for this church. I pray, God, that You would use them mightily just as you have done in the past, but not dwelling on the past, but looking to the present and on to the future, that they would have a burning heart's desire to accomplish more and even greater things for you. Father, I realize that this morning, that for that to happen, it's going to have to begin in the hearts of each individual in this congregation here today. It can't just be in the heart of the pastor or the assistant pastor or the pastor emeritus or deacons or Sunday. It's got to be in everyone's heart. Father, I pray that burning fire will glow and grow, that they might do great and mighty things for you. Father, this invitation is your invitation. And Father, I pray that we will respond to it as you direct us to do so. For it's in Christ's name we pray. As you continue with your heads bowed, I turn the invitation over to your pastor. As the music plays, let God have His way.
Amen. There's nothing else that I need to add to that this morning. I want to encourage you, if God has worked in your heart, to respond to the direction He may be leading you. As your head's bowed and eyes closed, I encourage you this morning, if God has worked in your heart, to respond to Him. Come down to these altars. Seek Him out in prayer. Perhaps there's one here that has come to the understanding or the realization that they're not saved. They've been good. They've been in church, perhaps, but they never placed their faith in Christ for salvation. If that's the case, respond to that gift of salvation. You can come down this morning. If you know what you need to do, I encourage you to get that settled with God. If not, we can take you and show you from the Bible. If you have any questions, we can show you how you can know that you're saved and know that your eternity is secure because of Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, however God has led you this morning, I encourage you to seek Him out in prayer.